Praise God. Well, we're going to be sharing a few things that are dear to me. And I have an impression to go this way this evening. We're going to just share a few thoughts about our heart and our speech. And I believe if we get those things working in our lives, that we will have victory in every area of our life. I know as a new Christian, this is many years ago, right around the year 1978. And one of the things that became apparent to me were words. And it was something that, others are gravitate to other things, but for me, it was words. And I began many years ago, I was going to an Assembly of God church in New Jersey. And as a new Christian, I remember this particular pastor, Pastor John Lipscomb, who's in heaven now. And he used to make copies of the Word of Faith magazine, the Kenneth Hagin Ministries magazine. And he had articles out that were on words. And that was really the start for me to be exposed to the Word of God concerning what God had to say about our words. And so for me, it's always been something that I've, studied and exercised and worked at, operating faith and our words and acting upon them. And so I want to just share some things regarding that this evening again, our heart and our mouth and the connection between the two. And so, we're remembering this week concerning the Lord Jesus, and this being really, you could say, his final week on earth during his life and ministry. And some of the things that we teach and we believe and we minister and talk about are those principles, those revelations that came from the Father God. The scripture says it was what? God in Christ that reconciled the world. So God was speaking through Christ and revealing his heart, his will through Christ concerning these great truths that we embrace. And so some of those truths that we teach are on faith and confession. And that's why it is so dear to me, because we don't have to wonder whether it's God's will, his revelation, it's in the Word, but it was God speaking through Christ while he was down here in the earth, and he was revealing God's will. So if you would, I'm going to just reference just some thoughts here. Do words really matter? And, you know, a lot of times people have things, you know, they just say things and they'll just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, what does the Word have to say about some of those things? Genesis, in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, in verses 26 and 27, we see that God said he made man in what? The image and likeness of himself. He made man in his image and likeness. And so we can see that from John 1, 26 and 27, that we're made in the image and likeness of God. So we just have to say how we meant to operate. We're meant to operate how? Like him. And so when you look at John 4 and verse 24, it said God is what? God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And then we also see from John 6, when Jesus was here, he spoke and he said what? My words are spirit. John 6:63. He said, it is the spirit that what? Quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So we can see God's words are spirit, and they are life. Now, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, and God is the spirit, that means the real me, the inward man, Paul talks about it. He talks about an inward man and an outer man. And it also, that what we're saying is, if God is a spirit and we're made in his image and likeness, then that means what? I am a spirit. The real me is a spirit that lives where? In this body. And so we can see here that Jesus continued in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not, but what? For to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. So we can see here that Jesus is speaking that he came to give us life and have life more abundantly, the overcoming life. So that means God is a healer. God's words are full of life. They're full of health and healing, and they're like medicine. His words are like medicine. Your words can either be full of life or they can be full of death. We see that from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. And it talks about death and life are what? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that what? Love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that means you can have in your words, you can have words that are full of life or negative, or you can have full of life and full of the word of God. So we can see here, I'm going to just reference another scripture here, that the scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says that whatsoever, or we could say whosoever, is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. How? Even by our faith. So we can see here that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we're talking about who is the God of this world. Well, we know that when Adam trespassed, he did what? He turned over his authority that was given to him by God to his adversary, the devil. And so here in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath done what? Blinded the minds of them which do what? Believe not. Well, we're believers. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we can see here from Scripture that Satan is the God of this world. He is the God over this earth, and we can see that from the time Jesus was here, that the devil took him up on the pinnacle of a building, and he did what? He said, cast yourself down. So he had the authority to do that, but how did Jesus respond? He responded how? With the word of God. He said, it is written. And so we can see that the devil today operates in this world through systems. What kind of systems? Through people and through worldly systems, governments, education, music, the print media, or TV now that we have, and every kind of medium, he operates through that. To do what? Influence or blind them who believe not. And so, because we are believers, we can overcome. How? We can overcome in this world by faith. And so, in John 16 and verse 33, Jesus speaking, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that word cheer, actually, you know, we sometimes, if you don't look at other translations or you don't look that word, certain words up, you might just think that, well, why would I be cheerful about something? No, that word actually in the Greek means to take courage. Have courage, have confidence. So that means here, it says, in the world you shall have tribulation, you shall have opposition, but take courage. Have confidence. Be of good confidence. Why? Because I've overcome the world. So he's saying here, in me, if we are born again, then we can overcome, how did he say? By our faith. And so it's important to look at that. And so let's look at what's the connection here. We're talking about our heart. We're a spirit. It means that when we became brand new, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a brand new creature or a new kind of being. How did that come about? By me believing that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. And I believed that in my heart, and I confessed that with my mouth, and I became a brand new person, a brand new creature. And the scripture says in Romans that I've received a measure of faith. Glory to God. I can overcome with that measure of faith. So I can overcome every tactic of the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't need to grow and develop and feed on the word, but that measure of faith gives me God's ability to overcome adversity and challenges in this earth. So we thank God. And so when you look at Romans chapter 12, and you look at verse 2, and I'm going to look at this in the King James Version, and then also in the New Living Translation. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 in the King James Version, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but how? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word conform there means just don't conform to the same pattern. Don't be like them. It says in your mind or character. But it says that we're to do what? Be transformed. That word transformed is actually the word, the Greek word that we would we get the word metamorphosis from. That means transformed, or actually it means to be transfigured. So we can be transfigured. We can have a transformation of our mind. How? By the word of God. And so in the New Living Translation, it reads a little differently. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God. That's when we were reading when we opened up Psalm 119, 130, it says that the entrance of his word giveth light, and it does what? Giveth understanding. So you've got to let God's word come in. You've got to allow it come in. When you do, it begins to do what? Change your thinking. Change the way you think is what the New Living says. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So here we can see that our heart's been changed, our mind needs to be renewed, and then also, once our minds are changed and renewed, we need to do what? We need to do what I've been sharing recently is we need to guard our hearts. You know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, when we talk about guarding things, you know, you guard your house sometimes with systems. You know, they have so many types of systems out there now. They'll beep you on your phone if somebody's coming up to your door. So it's meant to protect and guard your property. We guard our bank accounts, and we guard different things. People guard their food. You know, they put their arms around their food and say, you ain't getting none of mine. So, you know, people guard things that are precious to them. That's really what I'm saying. And our heart and what's in our inner man is precious. And the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 talks about that. And I'm going to read that from the King James Version and then following the New Living Translation. But when we have, and it talks about here starting in verse 20, it says, my son, do what? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, keep what? The word of God. In where? Keep it in the midst of thine heart. And then verse 22, for they what? The word of God. They are life unto those that find them, and health, and most margins say medicine, to all their flesh. And then look at verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, let's look at that in the New Living Translation, because that reads a little plainer, I believe, and it'll help us. Starting in verse 20, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate. Isn't that good? Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those that find them. That means you're gonna have to search for something. You know, you find something, that means you went looking for it. And you were active at it. And what? And it says, and healing to their whole body. Hallelujah. That means every part of my body, the word is health and healing for my whole body. Now look at verse 23. This is what I wanted to get to in the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart. What's the inference there? You guard it. Guard your heart above what? All else, for it, what does? Your heart determines the course of your life. Wow, isn't that awesome? That's tremendous. That means what comes out of our heart, and how do things get in our heart? We just got done reading that in Romans 12, 2. That we need to be what? Not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, because what you think, Proverbs 6 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we can see that if we don't guard our heart and we just open our heart, our mind up to stuff in this world through what the devil is operating through, systems and media systems, and we begin to do what? Meditate, think about things that aren't godly, or follow the principles of God's word, then we can do what? Open our heart up to some things that we're not guarding against. And so the scripture tells us to cast down what? Every vain imagination that does what? Exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. Now, I know they don't have this scripture, and I know we'll be getting it soon, but let me read this. It won't be up on the screen, but let me read this from the Good News Translation of Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It says, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Wow. It says, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Well, if you don't think people's lives are not shaped by their thoughts, just look at what is going on currently. I am certainly not saying that we should not guard and protect ourselves in the natural. We live in a natural body, so we protect ourselves against certain things. But we are to be what? The Spirit of God through the writers in Romans and 1 Corinthians and so forth, and 2 Corinthians said, we are to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. And Proverbs 3 says, every path of wisdom is peace. So we're to be led by peace, and we're to be led by the wisdom of God. And so that means that when we make decisions, we should be making them, and it should bear witness with our heart. It shouldn't violate scriptural principles. And so when we have, you know, directives from the local authorities and the federal government, they're trying to keep us healthy. That doesn't violate the scriptures. They're not telling us we can't preach the gospel. Glory to God. We can go around the world this way. They're advocating that churches pray and preach the gospel. So they're not violating scripture. So, but what we need to do is make sure that we're not making choices based on fear, because we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we need to guard our hearts. We need to abide by the rules and regulations, but don't feed upon what's coming across in the airwaves. Get information, but make your choices that abide or follow scriptural precedent. And so I just share that we need to make sure that we are guarding our hearts, this new creature that's inside, this new person. You know, when I was thinking about this today and preparing these thoughts today, and these lyrics came up in my heart, and I think they're so appropriate for today. I thank God for Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah and the psalmist anointing. And I served Pastor Clinton for 20 plus years and had the privilege of doing that in the media area and assisted in that area. But I remember these lyrics came up to the song Listen to Jesus, which was the theme song for the Listen to Jesus broadcast for many years. But the chorus to that song, Listen to Jesus. Let me just, they may put this up, they may not, but it says, here it is. It says, listen to Jesus. Oh, when we listen to him, we're listening to the word of God. Listen to Jesus and do what? Say what Jesus said. Say the word. Keep looking at Jesus and do what? Do what Jesus did. So we're not only just to be what? Hearers of the word of God. We're to be doers. And when we do that, what do the lyrics say? And it will what? Turn your life around, and it will turn this world around. Aren't those good lyrics? That's such. I thank God for Holy Ghost filled directed words to songs. And so when we look at that, Matthew chapter 15, I don't recall if I gave him this scripture, but if not, they'll put it up. If not, I'll just read it. But Matthew 15 and verse 18, in the King James Version, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. That's why it's so important to guard our hearts, because it says here, and Jesus was speaking in this dissertation here, and he said, and they defile the man. Well, we can make sure that what? That we guard our heart, or it says, they are life and health to all our flesh. So we can either have death-filled words coming out of our heart, or we can have life coming out of our heart, and they'll be what? Neither death, but they'll be life. They'll strengthen us, and they'll heal us in the name of Jesus. So one of the things I wanted to look at here, and continuing with this, is that let me share this from Proverbs 18 and verse 14. And this talks about the spirit of a man, talking about our inward man, the real us. And the King James Version, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Proverbs 18 and verse 14. And it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now, let me read this from the Amplified. I think from the New Living Translation, I'm sorry. Proverbs 18, 14, from the New Living Translation. It says, the human spirit can endure a sick body. This is from Proverbs 18:14 in the New Living Translation. It says, "The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed?" So that what when we start looking at all of the scriptures that we've looked so far, that we're a spirit, we've become a brand new creature, a brand new type of being. We've become an overcomer. We overcome whosoever is what? Born of God, overcometh the world. So we've received a measure of the God kind of faith, the God kind of faith. So we can see here that when we do, it says here, the strong spirit of a man. What does that mean? That means our spirits need to be fed. They need to be built up. They need to be nourished. They need to be strengthened on the word of God. Just like your natural immune system, it needs to be strengthened to do what? Natural immune systems are designed to fight off sickness and disease and various things that get on our bodies. And sometimes if your immune system is a little weak, then you could have some issues in your body. But sometimes if your immune system is strong, you don't even know it's working. It's just working and it fights it off. You never know. But I tell you, your spiritual, we call it spiritual immune system, or your spirit can be weak and it cannot, and it may have a problem fighting off the attacks of the devil. And so that's why it's important when we see, even in the scripture, in the Gospels, Jesus said, "Let me show you a wise man who built his house upon a rock. He dug down deep and built his foundation on a rock." And he said what? That when the winds came and blew against that house, it did not fall. But he said, "But let me show you a foolish man who built his house on what? On sand." And he said, "The winds came and the winds blew." And he says, what happened? It got swept away. So we can see here that our life, our heart, the real me, has to be built up and founded where? Upon a rock. So that when the winds of life come and all of these issues come, that we don't fold up. That the strong spirit of a man can sustain the opposition that comes, the various things in life that come. So let's take a look. I want to go over to Mark 11. And I want to look at this in the King James Version, because when we talk about the connection between faith and we talk about, in Romans, it says we've received a measure of the God kind of faith, of the God faith. So that means we've received a measure and it needs to be developed. It needs to be strengthened, I guess you could say. Jesus, through his ministry, talked about the centurion, came. And what did he do? He said, no. He said, "Don't, you don't need to come. I'm not worthy that you come into my house or under my roof." He said, just do what? Speak the word and it shall be done. So faith has to do what? Speak. So what we say, what we speak, is our faith speaking. So let's take a look at Mark 11, 22, and let's start in verse 22, and you know the story where Jesus, let me just get over here, and let's, again, you know the story here, talks about how when they were going, and this is in his final week here, and he said he did what? He entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. Verse 11, and I'm just going to read, they have up Mark 11, 22, and I'm going to get there. But it says, he looked round about on all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And then it says, on the morrow, when they were coming from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing fig tree, you know the story afar off, he was hungry. And don't you think he knew that it should have been the time for figs, but he comes and he finds no figs, no fruit. And what did he do? He said, seeing the fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came, and he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And what did he end up doing in verse 14? He cursed it. And what happened? His disciples heard it in verse 14. And then the next day, you know the story. I'm going to just jump to verse 22, but you know the story. And in the morning, they passed by, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, and saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And I love this. This is where Jesus steps in. This had been an opportune time for Jesus to say, well, boys, this is something only I can do. But he didn't say that, did he? He began and he said, and Jesus answering, he's answering Peter, saith unto them, he said, have faith in God. Or my margin says, have the faith of God. Some translations say, have the God kind of faith. And he began here, and we can see in verses 23 and 24 what the God kind of faith is like. What is faith supposed to do? It's not only just supposed to believe, but it's supposed to do what? Say something. It's supposed to speak. And so we can see here it said, for verily I say unto you that what? Whosoever, he didn't say it was just him now. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not do what? Doubt in his heart, your spirit, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so I'm going to stop there, but you can see, we'll jump to verse 24 in a minute, but you can see here, there's a principle here that Jesus said we're to have the God kind of faith, but then he said this faith has to do what? Believe in its heart and say with its mouth. And again, here it's saying that we're to do what? Speak to the mountain. Speak to an obstacle. What's an obstacle? Could be a health obstacle. Could be a financial obstacle. Could be an obstacle where something's come up in your life where it's a mountain. But what does Jesus say? We're to do what? Speak to the mountain. So that means I've heard other ministers, Pastor Hagin, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. Never face your mountain with your mouth closed. Release your faith with your words. What does it say? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not to look at that mountain and say, oh my God, that's too big. No, Jesus didn't say, he didn't qualify what type of mountains. He just said, whatever mountain you're facing, do what? It says, tell it to be removed and to be cast into the sea. And what does it go on to say? And shall not doubt in your heart. What doubt in your heart? Not doubt that the things you're saying will come to pass. And he goes on and he says, but you believe the things which you speak and say. I have lived by this principle. In, you know, there may be some times that I didn't exercise it, but I'm telling you, in most cases, when I'm faced with a mountain, I speak. I remember a few times in my life that there were a couple of mountains that looked like there was no way they were going to move. I remember one where there was a legal thing involved, and it looked like in the natural. I had just started this ministry, and there was a legal issue, and they had the right to bring those charges. I didn't do anything, negative or wrong, but they did. And so the bottom line was I didn't know what to do. And I remember the Holy Ghost. I was sitting there pondering, what am I going to do? How am I going? What the heck am I going to do? I wasn't I won't say I was new or grown, but I was more of a new Christian. And I remember that the Holy Spirit brought this scripture up in Malachi 3:10. He said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can hardly contain." And then the next verse says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." I'm telling you, right where I was, I jumped up and shouted, and I was screaming and shouting hallelujah. And I held on to that scripture for a period of about 6 months. And fear would grip me, and thoughts of failure would grip me. And I can tell you that it all came to a head and in this legal process, and it was dealt with, and all of those charges were diminished. And so I just took a hold of the Word of God, and so I'm just saying for me, you may be faced with some mountain. Get the Word of God, get His heart on the matter, and begin to speak the Word. Every time fear tries to grip your mind, it could be sickness. Every time that fear thought comes, you're going to die. Your blood pressure is going off the roof. Begin to speak to your blood pressure. Doesn't mean you don't take your medicine, but it does mean that you don't yield to fear thoughts. Begin to speak to your body. What does it say? What did we just get done reading in Proverbs 4:22? It says, "And they are life unto those that what? Find them, find the Word of God, and they are what? Health to all their flesh." That means that I can speak to every part of my body with faith-filled words, and my body has to respond. It must respond to my words. That's what Jesus just got done saying here. He said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain," you may have some symptoms of this coronavirus in your body. Don't take fear thoughts. Take God thoughts. Begin to take those into your heart. Begin to meditate upon those and begin to speak and say, "No, Himself took my infirmities and He bore my sicknesses." And you begin to speak the Word of God. Begin to say, "Whose own self bore my sin and His own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Romans 8:11, "And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, He is quickening my mortal body." So you begin to speak the Word of God. Don't look to the symptoms. Don't let those symptoms drive you to make choices in your life. Yes, get checkups if you need them. Take medicine if you need them. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is greater. What did Jesus say? "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." If it's in this world, and if it's something that is not of God, then you can overcome it. Overcome it how? With your faith-filled words. Hallelujah. So let's continue with verse 24 of Mark 11, because Jesus, continuing here, he begins to say some things about faith. And he says here in verse 24, and the difference here in verse 23, we see between verse 23 and verse 24, we see the contrast between faith that speaks and praying. So we can see here the difference between speaking and praying. Same faith principle is the same. You have to believe, verse 23, you still got to have to believe in your heart that what you say will come to pass. You've got to say that and not do what? Not doubt in your heart that what you're saying, what you're speaking has to come to pass. Well, verse 24, Jesus, continuing in the King James, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things, what soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you," what? "You receive them and you shall have them." Hallelujah. So faith here is showing, and Jesus is revealing by the Father, he's saying that if you pray, what things soever you desire. Well, I desire to make sure, I desire the things that God desires. Is it in His Word? Is it something that He's promised? Well, then I can desire that. and it's not violating Scripture, I can desire that. And it says, when you pray, not after you pray, not before you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive it. You receive them, the petitions you're asking. And what does it say? You shall have them. So I think sometimes what happens is individuals, when they believe or they speak something, they're expecting something to instantly change. But I would remind you of scriptures. We have accounts in the New Testament. Jesus talked about the 10 lepers. As they went, they were what? They were healed. But I would remind you in Mark chapter 16 and verse 18. And it's talking about the, you know, here Jesus is giving us the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he goes on, and Mark chapter 16 and verse 18, he's talking about these signs that follow them that believe. And verse 18, he says, and they shall what? Take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall what? Lay hands on the sick, and they what? They shall recover. So that means that the minute I lay hands upon my body, it's beginning the recovery process. That's why it's important people sometimes make bad choices when they decide to throw their medicine away, because their body is recovering. And so sometimes people say, bless God, I'm healed, throw everything away. No, your body is recovering. You keep speaking the word, you keep pronouncing it, you keep saying it, and your body will recover. I'll guarantee you, if you're taking medicine and your body doesn't need it, it'll let you know. You'll have some, the same way you started having side effects by taking medicine, you're going to have it when your body begins to not need it. So your body will let you know real quick, you don't need this anymore. And so it's important for us that when we walk through life, that we guard our hearts, we guard this new man, and we protect it, as the scripture says, at all cost. Guard it and feed it and meditate upon the word of God, and faith will come. When faith comes, then we're to do what? We're to continue, speak the word. Speak the word over the mountains that face you. You begin to, I like what Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said this, set your goals high. He said, I'd rather set my goals high and reach the half of them than set them to nothing and get all of them. So we need to set our goals high. What does that mean? Our spiritual goals. Begin to reach out in ways that believing God for things that are beyond your capacity or ability to make happen. You know, when the doctors say, it can't change, well, you can smile and say, well, thank you very much, but I believe God. I believe God's word, and don't just believe it, speak it. And don't feed upon the negative things in your mind. Don't feed upon that. Begin to thank God. Begin to have joy in the Holy Ghost. Begin to thank him for his word working. You begin to say, I thank God for the healing power of God working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in it. It's affecting my lungs. It's affecting every organ. It's affecting my brain. It's affecting my sinuses. Whatever it is that you've gotten some report, you begin to speak the word of faith. Now let's turn, as we begin to just close this, we're trying to give some very basic principles here concerning the word of God. But let's look at this revelation where Paul is concerned. They can get this if they have time. I'll just wait. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And I'll also read verses 16, 17, and 18. But starting in verse 13 in 2 Corinthians, this will be from the King James, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I did what? I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." We just got done reading that in Mark 11, 23, that we need to speak to the mountains that we're faced with, believe in our heart, and don't doubt the things that you're saying, but believe that they shall come to pass. This says here that we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and do what? Therefore speak. Now, picking up in verse 16, it says here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," well, you know, if you don't, you know, that's just another way. It doesn't mean we're getting sick and diseased. It just means we're getting older. It just means, you know, some of us may get a little gray hair. Some of us may move a little bit slower. You may not run as fast as you used to. It just means your body is decaying. It's getting older. So it just says here, "Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man," this is what we've been talking about today, the inward man is what? Renewed day by day. In verse 17, "For our light affliction," which is what? Just but for a moment, "worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now look at verse 18. I love this scripture verse. "While we look not," right? We walk by faith and not by sight. "We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things," what? "Which are not seen. For the things which are seen are," what? "Temporal, thank God. But the things which are not seen are eternal." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I thank God for the eternal word of God. His word is forever settled in heaven. When you look at Hebrews 11:1 says, what? "Now faith is what? Excuse me. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence." What's the evidence? The evidence of things, what? Not seen. So faith has a confidence in what? Things not seen. That word substance actually means ground. Faith is the ground on which my expectations rest. You know, if you just a simple example, you may have a chair at home, you might be sitting in a chair. Well, that chair, you expect it to do what? Hold you up. But not only that, you expect the floor, which is the ground, to hold that chair up. So you're expecting when you sit down in that chair is going to hold you up. So faith is the ground of something hoped for or expected, and it's what? The evidence. What's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of something not seen. So glory to God. We're brand new creatures. We were made in the image and likeness of God. We have the God kind of faith. Why? Because Jesus said we're to operate in it. And we're to operate how? We're to call those things that be not as though they are. We're to speak. I believed, and therefore we're to do what? Speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think I'm going to kind of unhook here because we could go on, but the principles you can see here as these lyrics from Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus, say what Jesus said, keep looking to Jesus, or looking at Jesus, and do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He always did what? When confronted with something, he spoke to it. He spoke the word of God. So we're to keep looking at Jesus and do what? Say what he said, do what he did, and it'll turn your life around, and you will turn this world around. Glory to God. Praise God. And so as we close, I'd just like to give an opportunity, we always do, to give an opportunity to those who may be viewing. We don't know who's viewing, but this is an opportune time that God in Christ was reconciling the world. And that's in 2 Corinthians. But what does it say? How God, John 3:16, how God did what? He so loved the world. He so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's all of us, whosoever believeth on him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. His life will change our hearts. It'll change this inner man to a brand new person. So let's just say this in Romans chapter 10, in verses 9 and 10, it talks about how we actually receive Christ. It says in verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou, that means us, shall do what? Confess with thy mouth and believe. See, here's this heart and mouth connection again. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let's join our hearts in agreement, and if you're already saved, just say, thank God I'm saved, or confess what I'm going to have you confess. Let's say this, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that you sent Jesus here to redeem mankind. I believe he is the Christ, the Savior. And I believe that you raised him from the dead, and he took my sins and my infirmities to hell. And when justice was paid for, when sin and sickness was paid for, Jesus was released from hell and raised from the dead. I believe that. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, and I confess you now as my Savior, and I believe now that I am saved. So now, if you've said that simple prayer, that means that you are born again. That means you are saved. That means that you've been redeemed from darkness, or translated as it says, you've been delivered, as Colossians says, you've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank you, Jesus. So praise God. I trust you got something from these thoughts, from the Word of God. Not just receive it, but as we said, listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Do what Jesus said, and it'll turn your life around, and it'll turn this world around. So not only do we want to hear the Word of God, but we want to act upon it, because unless we act upon it, our faith is dead, as the Scripture said. Well, praise God. Then what I wanted to do next is they're going to put some ways that we can connect with our giving. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about seed time and harvest and sowing and reaping. And so the Scripture in Genesis talks about, as the earth remained, that summer and winter, cold and heat, seed time and harvest. So we know that God has principles. And of course, you know, we see from Scripture, it talks about the sower sowing the seed. He talks about the sower sowing seed. So Jesus had a lot of things to say by the Father on sowing. And so let me just remind us all that when we come into contact, or when we come and act upon God's word, that it produces. But now let me just read this particular scripture from Galatians. I'll read it. And it says here, that Be not deceived. This is Galatians 6 and verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. It says here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Some scriptures say ridiculed. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be what? Weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So God talks about bringing our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? The place that you're being fed, the local church, you know? And so we thank God that God has raised up this ministry where we can be a blessing. But it needs support. It needs to be supported. And we thank God for all those that are sowing into this ministry. And we thank God for you. And we believe for an abundant return on your giving. Why? Because the scripture says. Let me just remind you of another scripture in 2 Corinthians. It says, but this I say in Romans, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And then verse 10, it says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So you can't outgive God. His word, if I believe and say, here we go again, the heart and mouth connection. You begin to take your seed and you sow it. When you release your seed, you say, I believe. I'm coming in contact. I'm beginning to believe the word of God concerning sowing and reaping. I'm sowing my seed, and I believe that when I sow, I'm going to receive an abundant harvest. I will reap, and I won't faint. And it says, in due season, you shall reap if we do what? Faint not. That means let go of the word of God. Don't faint. What does the scripture say? It tells us. Let me just remind us of another scripture. I'm not trying to teach, but I love these scriptures here that help us stay steady in life. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. It says, let us what? Hold fast the profession, or you could say the confession of our faith, what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. What did he promise? He promised that if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly, but if I sow bountifully, he will reap bountifully. And what am I supposed to do? Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, without staggering. And when you go down and in that same chapter in verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, or don't cast your faith away. It says, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we need to stay steady. We need to keep doing the word of God. What does that mean? Give according to what you can give. It's not the amount that you give. It's that you're planting seed. You're planting something, and you're releasing your faith in words that you can give God something to work with, and it'll come back to you. I know there was some prophetic words that were given over this ministry years ago by Brother Copeland at the inaugural service. He said, every good seed that this ministry has planted shall come up. I believe it. Every good seed that's planted. Have all of them come up? No, but they shall come up. Hallelujah. When do they come up? When you need them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So on the screen, they're showing you different ways that you can give. Number one, we have text to give, and you can follow those instructions there. And you can text that particular amount. You can text, excuse me, RLCC plus the amount to 28950. And you can also, if you want other ways to text, the other keywords there, just type in keywords, and you can do the same thing. Online, you can go to our website, and you can select donate and follow those instructions. And, you know, as others say, snail mail. I mean, thank God for mail. But if you choose to give by mail, make your checks payable to RLCC, and you can send that to RLCC or Redeeming Love Christian Center or RLCC, either one, to 145 West Route 59 in Nanuet, New York. Or if you happen to be in the area and you can come on the property here, we'll receive your offering Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Praise God. Let me just pray for everyone as we close. Father, I thank you for those viewing. I thank you that the word that they've heard, we like to say this, the word that we've heard is working mightily in me. And I'll close with this. Listen to what Jesus is saying and do what he says, and we'll turn our lives around in Jesus' name. Praise God. It was wonderful to be with you, and be blessed.